Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimataro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast.
Kenny McCarthy, and I am co-creator of thecutbridge.com, and today is Thursday, the 27th of January. We're here for our second podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Kenny. It's great to be here. I'm Joey Shimataro, creator of Good Morning Gloucester, and with my group of crazy people that my contributors are, and I'm the co-owner of Gloucester, Massachusetts, Captain Joe and Sons Lobster Company. This is it. This is our second podcast.
Sure.
I'd say the first one went pretty well, especially considering neither one of us had ever done it before.
We got some
room for improvement, but I think it definitely exceeded my expectations. How about you?
Hey, we were thinking it was going to be a train wreck. It was not a train wreck, I don't think. Given the feedback, anyways, I know you had some good feedback. My 78-year-old father caught it. I told him about it, and I was really surprised that he would make the effort because he's got one of those little laptop notebook things, and he actually listened to it, called me up afterwards and said he really enjoyed it. He says, I hate talk radio, but it sounded like you two knew each other, and I really enjoyed it. When's the next one? So,
yeah, that seemed to be a lot of the comments that we got. There was according to the stats that I had, we had right around 1,100 people checked it out.
Which was
pretty good.
Because
you figure a lot of the viewership from what I can understand, we have our geeky people that can figure technology out but there's a lot of people that don't really understand technology. They just don't take it to the next level. For 1,100, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's very respectable. Yeah, my father actually said, because he's not technically adept, he actually said, I listened to your blog.
Nice.
What was some of the comments you got?
Oh, the comments. Well, we had a bunch. There was some. We had Bill O'Connor. He's the guy, the husband of the husband and wife team that does North Shore Kid.
Yeah.
He wrote in about commenting. We were talking about hiking and stuff in our last one. And he talked about Ravenswood and talking about how we got to get over there, and that they have a trail, I guess, that's on a boardwalk. You're familiar with Ravenswood, I imagine, as a hiker.
I am. I know it really well. Yeah, that's through the swamp. There's some boards lying down in the mud. It's not like the boardwalk in Atlantic City. It's two staging planks, end to end, maybe 100 yards long total. So don't go over to Ravenswood, people. Looking for the boardwalk, but it's very cool. It's through the swamp. It's nice. All kinds of all types of year too. So that's the boardwalk. Yep.
You it's funny. In our pre-conversation, I asked you, is Ravenswood in Dogtown? That's my nature. That tells you how much
that's
a nature boy
that's
I am.
Okay. I wasn't going to bring that up. Seeing as you brought it up, does that mean it's open season on this call? We can I can hit you with any of that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
You got to get out of that shack once in a while, Joey.
The Gloucester Export. Yeah, the Gloucester Export has no idea where Ravenswood is. That's so embarrassing, right? So,
That's okay.
We also had comments. A nice comment from a woman, Star Squiggle. I know who she is, but we'll respect her privacy. She likes to go by Star Squiggle. She said that she learned a whole bunch of new things.
I saw that. I really like that comment. Yeah.
Yeah, she's sweet. Kim Smith Designs was talking about the Twitter, and we were talking last time about having a Facebook and Twitter seminar for people that don't know how to use it, because it really is a useful tool. And Kim Smith commented that she'd like to she would sign me up, she says. So
sure.
We got to get on that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we will. I think that's a great idea. We'll put together something maybe in the next four to 6 weeks and get together some of our listeners that want to learn maybe be a little bit more effective, especially the business listeners, to learn how to use Twitter and Facebook.
We're gonna beat these people into submission until they can't take it anymore, and they have to sign up, right? We're gonna just mention it until they come around. And Paul Morrison, he's one of my contributors, and he's the quirky guy. He's from Rockport. He's a transplant to Rockport, and he had a nice comment. He says we had two voices made for the radio, not two faces made for radio. Because we're naturals, and I couldn't believe you kept the interesting pattern going for 40 minutes, and there doesn't seem to be any editing. And that's true. We didn't edit that at all, right?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Sorry, I was taking a break at the same time. Yeah, no. In fact, that would be a perfect thing to edit out right there, that dead spot. But no, we didn't.
Yeah, I know, our first edit. No, we're not doing it. So we already had a conversation, right? We said we're going to leave in the mistakes because we want people to know it's real, and we're not trying to pretend we're But that's the thing. It's just two guys talking and sharing our experiences with the listeners. So
yep.
Yeah, very cool. So write in. We want people to comment because we can't get better without honest feedback from our listeners, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Leave comments on the blogs, on Joey's blog, leave them on my blog, leave them on Facebook. You can leave comments all over the place. Emails you can send us. So it's the best place to comment on stuff like this, I think, is right where you see it, right on the blog or right on Facebook. The email only gets to each one of us. We'd be the only ones that would get to see an email. And comments, generally speaking, are good for everybody to see because somebody else might be thinking the same way that you are. It kind of makes it more of a community. Do you think that way too, Joey?
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's amazing to me. I have a bunch of people that write direct. Like if I ask a question on a blog, like I wrote a question about yesterday I happened to take a picture of a bird. I didn't know what the bird was.
Belted
kingfisher, and I get a bunch of comments on the blog, but then there's like seven or eight people that email me directly, and I don't know that they get that it's a community thing, and we want to share this information with everybody, and everybody can learn from this by commenting directly in that space. So put
your comments right on the blog if you're so inclined, right on the blog.
Yeah.
We are
in the middle of yet another, our weekly dose, I guess.
Jesus.
This is our weekly dose. Yeah.
I can't believe this. I've already been out with the dogs once. My dogs are like dolphins in the snow. They love jumping in it. So who's responsible for cleaning it up at your house, Joey?
Well, I am responsible for clearing it at my house. And we have a plow guy. Stevie Lombara is our plow guy at the house. And one of my lobstermen plows out down the dock, Pete Mondello.
Nice.
I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. I read on your Twitter feed that you went up a ladder today to clear off the Cut Bridges camera. Is that true?
I will go to any lengths to keep that camera going. However, I did not go up a ladder. No, I just moved the camera. It's shooting out the back window now. It's going up the river as opposed to towards the bridge because the bridge window, we had a lot of south wind from the south last night, and my window that it shoots out of is just covered with snow. It's total white out, so I moved the camera.
So the camera's on the inside of the house? It's not mounted outside?
Camera's on the inside. It sits on the windowsill. It's very technical. It sits on a box on the windowsill, and every once in a while, one of the dogs walks by and bumps it and moves it, changes the view. So if you ever notice that it's looking at the trim on the window rather than out the window because one of the dogs walked by.
That's funny. You know, it's amazing that technology, and for people, for the snowbirds, I know we have a lot of snowbirds that listen and actually check out the blog to see what's going on around town. Your camera, the cutbridge.com, it's a great resource to see exactly how bad the snow is or what's happening with the weather at any time of the day. It's really one of the – there's a couple around town, but it's one of the better ones because it shoots out, you know, over – it's a good expanse where you could really get a good feel.
Thanks. We're lucky. You get perspective on it, I think. You can see the benches. For example, I'm looking at the same view the camera's looking at right now, and I can see the benches out behind my house, the park benches, and the snow's right up to the bottom of the benches. So you can really get a feel for how much snow there is there and how much you really should want to be in a warmer climate, unless you like this white crap.
But anyways,
have you been up to the snow farm? Have you seen that? Do you know the snow farm up at Stageport Park?
I don't even know what you're talking about. So why don't
you explain? You gotta take a ride up there, man. You gotta take a ride up there. The city does not dump snow into the ocean anymore, which is a good thing because it's full of waste and crap and litter and whatever. They dump it in the parking lot at Stageport Park, and it looks like a farm. It's all these big piles of snow, and there will be snow up there, Joey, until the end of May. There will still be a pile of dirty, sandy, crappy, lousy snow. But as it melts, they get to pick up the trash and all the crap that gets picked up when they plow it, and that doesn't end up in the ocean. So it's a really good idea that they don't do that anymore. They've been dumping it up there for several years now. And we around our house we call it the snow farm because it looks like they're growing the stuff. So
God bless the DPW. They got their work cut out for them with this snow.
Yeah.
Did you know
about the snow pile? Not the snow pile, but the sand pile. Speaking of DPW, you can get free sand at the DPW right out in front. All you have to do is pull your car up.
I knew something about that, but I didn't know the details. How much do they let you take? Is it free or do you have to pay?
You can bring a 5-gallon bucket, and I think you can take two, but there's a little sign there. I think they say limit two buckets at a time because they don't want contractors pulling up and filling up the back of their pickup, you know. But it's free. No, you just pull up, and there is salt in it. So you just want to be aware of that, depending upon where you're going to spread it. But I'm over there 3-4 times a winter filling up my buckets. So BYBS, bring your own bucket and shovel, and you can fill up and take it home. So
great idea. That's a good little tip for our listeners. I'm always thinking readers. I'm thinking blog-wise, you know, but this is our listeners. Yeah.
people that I've mentioned this to and telling them about you and, you know, that you're in the lobster business, several of them have said to me, well, what's he do all day? And, I've really been wondering the same thing. What do you do all day at the dock, Joey? Tell us, what's a typical Joey Shimitaro day like?
Well, it depends on the season. This time of year, I guess it's all about snow removal this time of year. There's not a whole lot of lobsters coming in, and it's I have a big portion of my day is I'm really not doing a whole lot at all this time of year. But 8 months of the year, we work. My cousin and I work 7 days a week, and we get up. I get up at 3:45 a.m. and I shower up and head down the dock, and I usually take a picture or two for the Gloucester at Dawn series for the blog.
Sure, we see that. Yep.
No. And then,
that doesn't look
then
like work, Joey.
Isn't that work yet. No. Once I get to work, though, it's all business during the lobster season. And we pass out bait in the morning, do paperwork, and then we put up orders for our restaurants. And then we have a little bit of a break.
You pass out bait and paperwork?
No, we pass out bait. We box totes of herring to our lobstermen because they gotta go out lobstering. So we source the bait for them so that they don't have to go around town chasing bait all the time. They can just pull up the dock.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you're like the Cumberland Farms of the lobster world in the Gloucester and the Harbor. Boats can anybody come in and buy bait from you?
Well, we really try to. If there's an abundance of bait, you know, we'll help someone out here and there. But if bait seems to be tight, we always want to make sure our boats are taken really good care of, and there's no chance of bait running out for them. So they always know. They pull up to the dock, they're gonna put bait on. They're gonna go lobster. And they don't have to worry about this guy doesn't have bait. I don't know where I'm gonna get my bait. They're gonna go lobster. And that's the bottom line, you know.
When you say our boats, these boats that you own, are these boats that you do business with periodically, or to explain a little bit about that?
Well, we don't own the boats. We own the dock. Huh? My cousin Frank and I were partners. I'm very cognizant because people, you know, when they say Captain, my name happens to be Joe, but this is a partnership, and my cousin Frank is a huge part of our business.
Sure, sure.
huge part. So I don't want people to think that I ever try to say this is me alone. So anyway, Frank's a huge, huge part of our business. But anyway,
you gotta get Frankie on here sometime.
No, he would not come on. He's not the tech. He's every bit of a tech geek that I am. Frank is a man's man. He'd rather be out, playing basketball. So Frank's a different creature. He's a great guy. He's a hardworking guy, family guy, but we are as techie as I am. He is the anti-techie guy. So,
Okay.
Fair to him.
So the boats come in, they get bait from you. They get paperwork, whatever. They go out and they lobster, and
I'll do my paperwork. I'll do my paperwork from the day before. Get that out of the way. And then we generally have a break, probably like an hour and a half where it's a little bit of downtime between 9 and 11, where I may do a little blogging and catch up on that. And then the boats start hitting the dock on their way back. So it's all about offload boats.
And so you're buying the lobsters from them and then you broker them out to restaurants and whatever from after you've bought them, because I saw tanks. I mean, you've got tanks and everything.
Yeah. That's you got it exactly right. They come in, and we deal with a lot of the better restaurants around town. Probably a majority of the restaurants in town that serve lobsters buy their lobsters from us. I would say that's fair.
Interesting.
But people think that the restaurants are a big part of our business, but. Even that being said, probably less than 3 or 4% of the total of the lobsters that we take in go to restaurants. Most of it goes to a big wholesaler.
Wow.
And they distribute them around the world. We get them in, we get them out, and we're not trying to get too fancy with the process.
Sure. Simple's always better.
Good.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, we did our real estate segment. We're gonna talk about real estate too. Did you see that she spoke earlier in the week? Was that wild or what?
Yeah. I only a couple times a year that I get to see that, and I think this was one of the best days for it, and the most sea smoke I had ever seen at one time. It's usually just wisps, but there was a lot of it. And it was cold, man. It was like 6 below or 7, 5 below, something like that. So I got some video of it on YouTube.
You did?
You got some video of it too. So
yeah.
If anybody doesn't know what sea smoke is, it's when when the air is frigid and the water is so much warmer. I mean, even at 35 or 40 degrees, whatever the water is, you get this wispy. Some people call it witch's breath. It hangs on top of the water. And it's just nice. It was a crystal clear blue day that it happened, and it was just really pretty. It's not fog. It's sea smoke. So that was cool. What else? What else is going on? What have you?
Well,
did you go to that bikini speedo dodgeball thing up at the front?
I was. It was actually my idea. Eric Lorden from Passports and the guys at the farm had come up with this idea last year.
You raised a bunch of money, didn't you, for breast cancer?
Yes. I didn't get to go because I actually had to work, unfortunately, because it looked like it was just ridiculous. It was so much fun. They raised $572 for breast cancer research.
Nice.
And Yeah, and the Gloucester Times are really happy with their coverage. They put them on the front page above the fold.
Oh, my God, they had them right on the front page. Yeah, I don't know how happy that woman in the pink bikini was, but it was a great photo. It looked like they all had a blast.
That's actually one of the owner's girlfriends, Tracy. She's a sweetheart, too. Yeah. They had it was a great time. It brought awareness and raised money. I actually took a lot of heat on a local message board, Cape Ann Online, for being involved in the planning of it. People were very upset. There were some women, a lot of people, some women with breast cancer had problems with it. They thought that it was a sexist thing, and it was not a good way to bring awareness to breast cancer. And I, you know, I kind of felt bad about that a little bit because I never want to tell people how they should feel because you have to respect those feelings.
Exactly.
But I did when we planned this. There was never any kind of thought towards being, to hurt someone's feelings or anything like that. It was in my mind, it was like the perfect scenario of fun and, everybody getting out there and raising money, raising some awareness. And I didn't think that it was, I didn't make the connection with a woman getting upset about it, but there was enough women that wrote in, that they didn't like it as an idea. That I recognized that there was something there. That being said, the people that went and there were people that went to this and their mothers actually had suffered from the disease.
Yeah,
if it's a disease or illness, I know. So and they were there to in support of their mothers and stuff.
Nice.
I just couldn't be happier with the results of the positive energy. And even through that there was 10 pages of comments and probably 80% of them were, kind of bashing me for this event. Even that to me was a positive because I became aware of these women's feelings. So, if nothing else. You know, breast cancer awareness got 10 pages worth of comments of people talking about their feelings about it and everything else. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, good. Anytime people comment, I like to see it and hear it. And you're never going to please everybody. There will always be somebody else that has a different view. And that's what makes the world go round. So I'm glad that those people commented. I'm glad that you did it. I'm glad that there was so much more awareness to it, and it looked like everybody had a good time. So as long as we don't force our will on each other, I think that's what it's all about.
And that's the other part too, is that these women these women own their own sexuality. It wasn't, they're not. I think like to try to make a woman feel bad about doing something like this is.
Right.
I don't think that's all that great either. I think women own their own sexuality is a good thing, and to try to make them feel bad about it would actually take the empowerment away from them.
That's too bad if there was any of that going on, but whatever. It definitely raised the awareness, and I think that was what the whole intention was. And intentions are a good thing. So I'm glad your intentions were good. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's today? Oh, tomorrow night.
Yep.
What's today? What are we doing? When are we taping?
Today's Thursday. 27th. So it's tonight.
Okay. Tonight. So we won't make it, but I'm sure that people can register late. The Cub Scout Pack 112 registration night. And the boys ages, grades 1-5 are eligible to join the Cub Scouts. And they can register by contacting Doug Schultz. We'll put the contact information on the blog. And Cub Scouts are a good thing. Were you a Cub Scout?
I was, man. Are you kidding? I'm a nerd. I was a Cub Scout. I was a Boy Scout. I loved the uniform, man. As a kid, those are my best memories of the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. You know, camp and hiking. That's where I got my hiking stuff. So yeah, I was right in there. And they threw me out when I was 18. You can't be a Boy Scout
You were one of those guys for 18 years old.
I had the neckerchief. I had the shorts. I had the whole bit. On Sundays when I was 17 or so, you caught me. I had the acne. I had the uniform. I carried the clarinet around because I was in the orchestra in the high school. I mean, this was the total nerd package, Joey. So,
I'm guessing you did not get let do. It was a long time between there and the time you had the first time you lost your virginity. Is my guess. I'm saying anyone walking around with the knickers and the neckerchief at 17 years old, you gotta have a hard time.
Story, brother.
Okay, all right.
Story. All it took was the first weekend at UMass Amherst in 1974. So
very nice.
That's another story, though. We'll have to have another segment. Identity loss. So
I know we don't want to lose our listeners. Hey, listen, my favorite part about Cub Scouts, I don't know if it was Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, and probably for a lot of people, was the car race. Remember, you got the wooden block and you carve out the wooden block.
Well,
do you remember that?
Do I remember it? The Pinewood Derby. That's what it was called. The Pinewood. You got this little kit. It was like $1.29. You got this little kit, and it came with the plastic wheels and the block of wood and the four nails you were supposed to use for the axles for the wheels. Yeah, I vaguely remember it, Joey.
Oh, that was the best. I never had a really good. My car was never like one of these like good cars. My dad
whittled.
Some people took it really serious. They had the graphite grease
Oh yeah. And you carved out the belly of the car and put in some lead weights. They caught a kid doing that in my troop 1 year. One thing I always got out of that was a nice gash on my left hand, because you were supposed to carve it with your right hand, and I always ended up, you know, with my jackknife. Always ended up with my whacking my thumb or one of my fingers, but. That was a lot of fun. Enjoyed that. So yeah, sign up for the Cub Scouts. It's really good. It's a good activity.
Yeah.
Even if your kid does not have to be a nerd to be a Cub Scout. There were some cool kids in the Cub and the Boy Scouts too. So don't take it that way. But.
We'll put the contact information on the blog. So if you're reading this, you'll see the link to who to call.
Yep. Cape Ann Animal Aid's having a fundraiser too. And you know what? I blew it. I did not bring the card with me, the information about it. I'm sorry. Do you have it? You got it in front of you? By any chance?
No, I don't even know. I'm not familiar with what the fundraiser is. What is it?
Well, I got a postcard in the mail because we got our puppy there a year ago, and we'll put it up. We'll put the information up in the notes of the podcast so that you can see when it is and where it is. I believe it's the second week of February, but I can't remember for sure. I went a couple of years ago. It was over at the Elks. Is it the Elks that's over on the Back Shore? And
yeah.
It was a blast. They had a silent auction and a DJ, and it was just a lot of fun. A lot of raising.
I got the information. I pulled up the information right here. It's the 8th annual Winter Bash. It's February 12th. From 7 to 11 at Cruiseport. Cruiseport hosts all these things around town. They give their place up for these great benefits, and you know, they obviously make money from the bar and stuff like that. But it's such a great thing that they do. You got to give props to those people. Silent auction, dinner buffet, cash bar, music, dancing, and a raffle for an iPad. Oh, whoa! And it's not just a basic iPad. It's a 64-gigabyte iPad with Wi-Fi and 3G. That's
the
like
real
an $800 iPad.
Yep. That's nice. Good.
Holy mackerel.
That'd be
a good take.
And it's for a good cause. So if you've got a dog or whatever, and even if you can't go, send them a check. They can use the money. You see the little hovel they're working out of over there. They're trying to build that new aid center. So it's a good take. You've been
I've been a couple places this week. I'm huge on both of them. The first one, the Spanish restaurant in the heart of Browns Mall, where the Savory Skillet used to be, is Gloria's.
I have not been there yet.
You have got to go. I mean, you gotta go. It's ridiculously cheap. The woman is such a sweetheart. The people are super friendly. I don't know if she's Puerto Rican or Dominican, but she makes all kinds of Spanish food and the menu.
Oh,
I'm gonna
God,
read a
I
couple.
Love... Mencanta.
It's nuts.
Oh, I love Spanish food. I love and eggs and all that stuff that they do. Nice.
I'm gonna read from the menu. They have for breakfast. This is just from breakfast, right? You go there and you can get two eggs, toast, and home fries for $3.75. For $4.95, two eggs, toast, home fries, and bacon. They have $1 coffees with a free refill.
Yep.
The place is and it's really clean in there. They painted the inside of the place. It's really, really something else.
Is it up?
Yeah. I've eaten breakfast there, I think, 3 times and lunch there twice. And killer food. Fried chicken yesterday. So we got the menus on the blog. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, and the other place I went to, Cape Ann Brewing. I've been there a couple times now as well. I go there for lunch. And the lady was the lady that's behind in the kitchen. I kind of wanted something light. I wasn't in the mood for a heavy greasy burger, which the burgers there are fantastic. But I got this black bean veggie burger, and I said, I don't want it to be just kind of bland. I want to punch it up a little bit, And she recommended that I put this wasabi sauce that they have, and oh my God, Kenny, it was bursting with flavor. Their whole menu is great. Their food is nothing is standard fare like that you would get at every other place. Everything is kind of just a little bit different, a little bit special, and I love places like that.
And this is Cape Ann Brewing?
Yeah, it's Cape Ann, right across from the St. Peter's Club, right on Gloucester's harbor. You can see the working boats from there, and it's fantastic. It's right next to Lat 43.
They just opened the new place a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, just opened there. How about you? Have you eaten at any place now?
Yeah, my dining room table. No, we don't go out that often to eat because, I mentioned we're vegetarians, and we just, so that's why I was interested in hearing about that veggie burger at Cape Ann Brewing. I had a pizza at Mikey's this week. It's one of their favorites. I love that pizza with peppers, mushrooms, and onions on it. You got to tell them to do it well done if you get all that stuff on it because it's a little, it's a little soggy. But if you tell them well done, man, and I find that pizza places, they're good for a while, but then you got to change to another one. We've been eating his pizza now for a couple of years. Maybe twice a month we get a pizza over there, and I really dig it. It's good. So that's the only place I've eaten out all week.
Well, Gloucester, we are so lucky. Pizza, it's ridiculous. I mean, Sebastian's happens to be my favorite, but I like Mike's. I like that that special one they have with the sweet sauce.
Right,
I think they call it their favorite pizza.
I love that sweet sauce. Yep.
Yeah, then you got Scafati's in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. You could get fresh pizza out of the oven at Scafati's, and it's like a dollar. It's
cheap. I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh,
I love pizza, and I'm not supposed to eat the dough because it's got wheat in it, and it's got there's gluten, and I just want to slash my wrists sometimes with stuff I'm not supposed to eat, but I do it anyways. So I'm gonna have to remember that. There's nothing like a fresh piece of pizza for breakfast. I love pizza for breakfast. So
now as a vegan. This might be a bad question because you just got done telling me you don't eat out that much. Are there places around town that you go out to eat that do a better job for vegans or not?
I'm not a vegan, so to speak. I think vegans would take offense at me calling myself a vegan because I do wear leather, and I will once in a great while I'll have some ground turkey and something. So I don't call I call myself a vegetarian, or I don't eat most meat. So that being said, no, I don't, I'll go anywhere to eat and I will figure out something on the menu to eat. And when I go to somebody's house, they say, oh, what can you eat? I hate having to tell them because I don't want to make them feel funny. I can always figure out. I have never, ever had anybody put a meal down in front of me that I couldn't figure out what I could eat and what I was uncomfortable eating. So, so when I go out to eat, I like passports. I love passports. I haven't been to Cape Ann Brewing yet though, but I'm going to get in there this week. And when I go, I can get a salad. I can get a lot of times there's soup. Sometimes I'll just have the vegetables that they have available. So it's really easy for me to eat that way. I just don't go out that often to eat. I like to cook, and Patty likes my cooking, so we do an awful lot of it here at the house. So.
I'm going to give you a suggestion. Common Crow to go. They have this takeout spot in the front of Common Crow, and you can park behind Cameron's. They have off-street parking for Common Crow and Common Crow to go. And I don't know if do you eat tofu?
I do.
You do. Okay. Well, they prepare the tofu in a way that it's not just a hunk of white, kind of like Jello, kind of like jiggling around. They do something with it. They put some kind of flavoring in it. And I've had it in their salads and stuff that it actually tastes like chicken. It's amazing.
It's good.
So I would recommend that for you.
Thank you. I had a sandwich over there when they first opened, and it was really good. I really dug it. So I have been in there, but I will get over there again. I go to the Common Crow every once in a while. Maybe once a month I'm in there to stock up on a couple of things that we use around the house, a couple of spices and tea. I get tea over there. So licorice. I love licorice. And they have this all-natural licorice that comes from Australia or New Zealand that they get there. It's like $27 a bag. No, I'm not kidding. It's like $5 for this bag of licorice. But it's the best licorice I've ever had. So if you like licorice and you like the soft black licorice, go to the Common Crow. It's right under the counter on the way out at the register. So it's in the black and brown bag. It's great licorice. So
and you know what else they got there is the cap. They have these rice cakes and they're covered with carob.
I've had those too.
They're like $1.25 or something, and they'll take your hunger away for just long enough where you feel like it's just a great carryover. And they tell me that carob is not chocolate. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't understand this because it tastes like chocolate.
Either. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so listen, let's talk about real estate. And we talked about real estate last week at some internet places where you can do research on real estate. You are the real estate guru. And why don't we talk about some statistics? Why don't we talk about like one segment? What segment would you like to talk about this week?
Okay. I did a little preparation, and I know an awful lot of us have property that is $350,000-ish. You know, we live in a ranch or a cape or a small colonial, and I just thought I'd look at that particular segment because that's a huge segment in the Gloucester Rockport market, is up to say $350,000. So I figured we'd look at that neck of the woods and just go over some statistics, kind of maybe give people a feel for where they are. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You're
the boss.
Okay.
Yep.
The market right now, last year compared to this year. So, for example, what was available? A lot of people are curious. They see signs out there. They wonder, you know, are there more houses on the market now? Are there less houses on the market? Last year, single-family prices, and the number of units in Rockport last year, in Gloucester last year, there were 48 properties on the market in January, and there are 40 on the market this year in Rockport. There were 15 last year, and there are 10 on the market this year. So there's maybe 25% less overall are for sale on the market right now in that price range. And that is just because the time of year, it might be because they can't get what their house is worth. It might be because those are really the two big factors. But I think that the fact that that there are fewer properties on the market right now, about 25% fewer, that will help the prices rise a little bit. The price band in, for example, in Gloucester right now, between $250,000 and $300,000, that's 36% of the market right now. There's a lot of properties on the market in that price band. So there are choices, albeit fewer than last year. The under agreements, and the under agreements are the pipeline for the market. It's what's coming up. And it's really interesting when you look at, for me, to look at these numbers, because it gives me an idea of where we're going. In Gloucester right now, there were 35 properties under agreement in the six-month period that we're in right now. So back 6 months. Last year, today's date, back 6 months, there were 35 properties that were under agreement. Right now, there are 54 properties that are under agreement. That's a 54% jump in the pipeline, in what's about to close, from last year.
And the price at which they went under agreement is virtually the same, Joey. No change.
Now, how do you have access to what the price they want under agreement? Because they don't have that information until it actually closes, don't they?
That is correct.
Or is that the listed price?
Correct. I do not have access to that. What I have access to is the price at which they went under agreement. In other words, the price they were marketed at. So if the house was marketed at $300,000, all I know is that it was marketed at that price and it went under agreement. So I don't know what it actually closed at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. But I know that it took the house. It's a good indication that there's a lot more properties that are under agreement now, and that's the pipeline.
Yep.
When they finally close, for example, the sold trends, and that's a definite data point. In Gloucester, for example, the same period last year, we had 36 properties close, and this year, the same period. Now, this is the six-month period. Back 6 months, we've had 48 properties close. That's a 33% jump.
Wow.
The prices actually went down 3.8% from last year to this year. So the sold prices went down 4%.
Mm-hmm.
The price at which it went under agreement was dead flat. So it tells me that we've definitely hit the bottom. We are at the bottom.
The sold prices to me are more of an important number than you know, the listing prices and stuff.
Yeah, the listing price is the hope that the seller has. A seller can list their house at anything they want to list it at.
Yeah.
And it's their hope. The buyer is the one that sets the market. The buyer is the one that says, I'll give you, I know you hope to get X for it, but I'm only willing to give you Y. And really the only thing a seller has control of, and it's a lot, but you just, part of my job as an agent is to align people's expectations. All you have power over, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, is whether or not your property is for sale. And that's a yes or a no question. Is it for sale or isn't it? And if it is for sale, how well you prepare it for sale, what you do to it to make it attractive. And that has to do with what it looks like, how it's been maintained, as well as the price. So if it's for sale, you want to make it as attractive as possible. The buyers are going to come by, and they're the ones that are going to say, hey, this looks like a great opportunity for us. We're interested or we're not. We're only going to give you what it's worth. I love it when people say, I tried to sell my, you know, fill in the blank, my house, my car, my whatever, but I couldn't get what it was worth. Well, economically speaking, you will always get what it's worth. That's all you're going to get. You might not get what it's worth to you, but the person that buys it, they're only going to give you what they think it's worth, not what you think it's worth.
It's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it. That's the point, right?
Yeah. That's today's real estate shtick. I think that's enough. I don't want to choke anybody with too much or too little information. But anything other than that specifically that you were curious about?
Well, this is something that I thought might be one of my observations or one of my theories, I should say, is that now that the stock market has, like, you know, a lot of these people that are like older folks that had money in the stock market and they saw it get their fortunes get decimated in 2000 and they come back a little bit and then they went back way back down. And now that they're back up to like just over 12,000, I'm wondering if like these people, and now you see all this inflation, like, you know, gas is huge, and I almost have a feeling like you're going to see layoffs again because prices are going to get out of control. And I'm wondering if people are going to take advantage of this time where they could get out of the stock market at 12,000 and invest in a hard asset like real estate, as opposed to, you know, saying, oh, maybe it's going to keep going. Now, I'm not trying to say this, that I know what's going to happen. Believe me, anyone that knows. But it just seems to me, right now, people have an opportunity to cash in and get something that's that no one's going to ever take away from you. Not, it's not a paper gain or anything like that. It's, you know, a house or a
it's
condo.
It's something you can live in, right? It's something you can live in and use or rent or whatever, but it's a hard asset, is right. And I've had the same thought myself. I see people now with the opportunity to sell or the opportunity to buy, and I just know that 2011 is going to be one of those years where that we look back at it and say, geez, I'm really glad I made that real estate move in 11. Or people will be saying, I really wish I had made that real estate move in 11, because all the factors are in play right now. For, you know, the financing's good, the rates are good, the prices are good. So it's a good time. You know, there's buyers out there with pre-approval letters ready to buy. So
yeah, there you go. And there's our real estate segment. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. What are we going to do now here?
I was thinking about talking about, I'll talk about something from my blog, which another Joey's a Dummy segment, I guess. I got a piece on LinkedIn. Do you use LinkedIn?
A little bit. I'm on there, but not much. Yeah.
Well, I don't use it. But people have to understand, I'm not in the corporate world. I am a blue collar monkey is what I am. I do not see that, you know, another social network to me is not of any use. So I went on and on because the thing about LinkedIn that bothers me, this particular social network, is when someone, like, what happens is someone signs up for it, right? And then they have an option to send out invitations to whoever is in their email contact list. So what happens is, so a good friend of mine, he's a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, this guy is a great, great guy. I don't want him to take offense to what I'm saying. But what happens is he didn't know this was going to happen. But so he says, yeah, import all my contacts and send them invitations that I want them to be my contact on LinkedIn. So now LinkedIn pulls like three different of my email addresses that I've used to contact this person in the past and sends me an invitation to join LinkedIn so that I can see this guy's profile and we can be buddies and be part of the LinkedIn network, right?
Right.
And I don't want to be part, because I'm not corporate. I'm not trying to find another job. This is my job, doc, and everything else. I don't really want to have to tend to another social network. So I just ignore it. Right. So, but it comes to all three of these different email addresses. And then a couple days later, I get another reminder, and it's like
a reminder.
And it's just so obnoxious of this company, not the person, the company,
the
LinkedIn
company.
It's like, if I did not respond to it the first or the second time, why am I getting the third and the fourth reminder on all my different? It's just, and there's no opt out. I looked. As far as I can tell, there is no thing that you can press unless you sign up for LinkedIn. You know, they want their numbers because they want to build up their network and be able to sell it like Facebook or something like that. I get what they're doing. It's just obnoxious to me.
I don't blame you. I can I jump in?
Yeah, sure.
I feel the same way about it. If I don't respond, I check my email 15 times a day. If I don't respond to your LinkedIn or your Facebook friend request, it means I don't want to be your friend because I don't know you, or I don't want to be linked in with you because I don't know you. LinkedIn is supposed to be a professional network of people that have worked together or known each other through work. So when I joined it 3 or 4 years ago, I did not upload my entire contact list. I've never done that on Facebook either, because I don't want to be friends with everybody on my contact list. Some people are just people I work with, and I'm not going to hang out. I'm not going to look at your pictures. I'm not going to see what you're doing on the weekend, because I don't care.
Well, here's the thing, though. In fairness to – now, the other part side of it is, in fairness to it, and I didn't realize this until I read the comments on the blog, a lot of people have actually – from a corporate standpoint, like referrals and finding jobs, people on my blog wrote in and said that they actually found jobs through LinkedIn. And another point that they made was when they got
canned, that's what
works. If you get canned, right, and you get fired, they like in the corporate world, I guess they tell you, okay, you got to leave like now. They don't want you to grab your email, the company contact lists and stuff like that. So right. you may like not have access to your computer and all these people that you used to talk to that you have on your computer at work. So if you do this through LinkedIn, you still have contact with these people that are in your field. So I get that part of it.
Sure,
I just don't like the execution, you know what I mean?
Give
them one or two, you know?
Right.
So,
right. And then let it die.
Yeah.
Let it die. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Good rant.
Wow. Well, I don't know. Let's talk about our some of the comments from our readers from the first podcast, shall we?
Well, we could, but we already did that.
Oh, we did, didn't we? I'm going along. We're getting down to the end here, aren't we?
We're at the end, Joe.
This is Joey reading from his crib notes here. Yeah. This is part of our – we're not going to edit out because we're real people and we make mistakes.
Yeah.
So, are we at the end?
Yeah, we're about the end. We're about the end. Are we we had talked about this offline, and maybe some people could give us some comments. We were gonna talk about trying to keep it to – last time we went 43 minutes or 41 minutes, and I had said that let's try and keep it to a half an hour. And I'm looking at the clock today, and I think we're at like 55 minutes. So if anybody is listening and has some comments on that, we don't want to keep going on and on and on you. But if you want us to go on and on and on, the two of us can yak forever. So let us know about that. Don't be afraid to comment. And I guess we've covered just about everything we wanted to cover.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job. I'm happy. Once again, I'm happy with the. I think I'm hoping, and I think that we did a little better job than the last time. Oh, by the way, I'll mention. I used a different method for uploading to talking. I'm using my iPad with the iPhone earbuds that has the inline microphone. So hopefully the quality of the podcast.
You are such a geek. I'm such a geek. I can't believe you did not. Like the Boy Scout uniforms, man. You are such a nerd.
That's quality right there. That's quality programming. I love it. Yeah. So anyway, people can check out the podcast on thecutbridge.com, also on Good Morning Gloucester. I'm Joey Shimataro, and he is...
Kenny McCarthy. Good talking to you, Joey. Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.